TheYeshiva.net.
Okay, we're going to begin a new mimer today. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. A Pesach Dika mimer. In honor of Chodesh Nissen and Pesach, which Haba Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael L'Tayva V'Livracha. And may we see a real geula. As Chazal say, B'Nissen Nigalu, B'Nissen Asidin Le'igal, may we see a real geula for all of our brothers and sisters and for the whole world. Today's class is dedicated by Reb Menachem Abrams with heartfelt appreciation and his entire family from strength to strength. Thank you very, very much. I also want to thank Reb Nechemya Kaplan for the copies, as always, the beautiful copies, and for enhancing our entire live stream experience together with our dear, beloved webmaster, Reb Shmuel Silber, for all of the work on creating a much more seamless live stream experience for those of us who are here virtually and not physically. Okay, so this maimer, as you could see on the headline, on the title, was said Yud Aleph Nissen Tovshin Lamed Dalet. That means exactly 50 years ago. Tovshin Lamed Dalet is 1974. We're now Tovshin Pei Dalet, 2024, so it's exactly 50 years ago. Mem Dalet, Nun Dalet, Samach Dalet, Ayin Dalet, Pei Dalet. It was said by the Lubavitcher Rebbe on Yud Aleph Nissen. Yud Aleph Nissen is his birthday, and he would conduct a Fabrengen each year and usually say a Maimer. Among all the other talks, there was also a Maimer Chassidus. So this Fabrengen, he said a Maimer that began with a passage of the Haggadah. So that's why it says, Beis Samach Dalet, Yud Aleph Nissen, Tovshin Lamed Dalet. And it begins with the famous passage that we say in the Haggadah every year on Pesach. It comes from a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, the last parak of Pesachim. B'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam liris esatzme, kilu yatzim emitzrayim. In every generation and generation, a person ought to see himself or herself as though this person himself or herself left Mitzrayim, went out, was liberated from Mitzrayim. Shenemar, and the Mishnah brings a pasuk, how do you know? Maybe you're not mechuyev. Because we say, v'gadat alevincha b'yayim ahulem, and the pasuk says in Parshas Boy, Moshe tells the Jewish people, when they're leaving Mitzrayim, v'gadat alevincha b'yayim ahulem, you should tell your son on that day, ba'avur ze asa Hashem, li b'tzeisim emitzrayim. That because of this, because of these mitzvahs that we do on Pesach, Hashem did this for me when I left Mitzrayim. And since this is a mitzvah for generations, and everyone is supposed to tell this to their child, v'gadat levincha, bavur ze'as Hashem li b'tzeisim emitzrayim. So Chazal learn out from this that in every generation, a person ought to experience Yitzias Mitzrayim as a personal endeavor, a personal experience. This is the Mishnah in Pesachim, and as I said, we say it in the Haggadah every year. The literal meaning of this, and this is also the halacha. When we say this is the halacha, it means this is how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, as he says in footnote 3, Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matza, Shulchan Aruch Admor Hazak, and Shulchan Aruch Harav, they explain what does this mean. Shechiyav Adam b'chol der lahadis esatzmai keilu hu ba'atzmai ate yotze mishibet mitzrayim u'biyem chamisha asabinis. That this obligation, that a person should, Rambam says, Laharis Esatzma. It's interesting. The Mishnah says, B'chol Dover Chayvadim Liris Esatzma. The Rambam, when he puts it in Chilchah Chametzumatzi, he puts Chayvadim Laharis Esatzma. That's why he quotes Laharis, because that's how the Rambam quotes it in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. There's a difference. Liris means to see. Laharis means to show. Right? Laharas. So it's not just I see it, it's that other people also experience it. Right? That you're sometimes in an inner state, but nobody else knows it. Laharis is that you display it. You know, like a peacock makes a display of its beautiful feathers. So it doesn't mean a superficial display, acting, but it means that it's something that is so profound that it's also, it radiates. It radiates from the person. It's an interesting diuk. Shechiv Adam Cholder Laharis Esatzmai, to show himself. When is this obligation? B'yom Chamish Asabinis. That's the halach. It's on the day of the 15th day of Nisan, or the night of the 15th day. In other words, on Pesach. Because it says v'igadat levincha b'yoyim ahu leimah bavur z'as Hashem li. This is the chiyuv of v'igadat levincha is not every day. The chiyuv of v'igadat levincha is Pesach. It's a special obligation of telling the story, and that then you say bavur z'as Hashem li. So then there's a chiyuv to display and experience in a person's own life as though they left Mitzrayim. That's what Pashto's the halacha. So it's relative, it's relegated to that one day. And that's why we do all the different things on Pesach and by the Seder that represent cheirus, represent liberty and freedom. The drinking of the cups of wine and the hesebe, especially the reclining and the various halachas connected to the Seder. Avol kvoid kedushas admon azaken bevarichiyu zebetanya. This is how it says in Shulchan Aruch Harav, also from the Alter Rebbe, from the Rambam. But in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, when he discusses this obligation, Tanya Perek Mem Zayin, chapter 47, he adds a word. He adds a word to the Mishnah. By Sifai, Achar Hatevis Bechol Dor V'Dor, Gam Bechol Yoyim V'Yoyim. And when he quotes in Tanya, he quotes this passage from the Mishnah, from Psachim, Kufta Zayin, it's Psachim. And he says, Bechol Dor V'Dor, U Bechol Yoyim V'Yoyim, Chayav Ad Mures Atzmikil Yotzim Tzayin. Three words that he adds. Every generation says in the Mishnah, every day. This means this obligation to re-experience Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just on Tesvav Nissan, it's also every day. So he understood the Mishnah in Tanya, not just b'chol dor v'dor, every generation, even when we're living thousands of years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, but within every generation, it's every day. Now that's already a big chiddush. First of all, what does it mean? We don't sit and recline every morning and like a whole say, we should do a seder every day maybe. People work hard enough for Pesach. I don't know if they want to do Pesach every single day. Zman cheresenu every day is not so easy. Not so easy to be free in the Jewish version of freedom. So what does it mean? What's the source for it? Says v'zem masim. So really, this is consistent in Psag Din HaMishnah Bebrachas. It's not from a vacuum. It's really consistent with what the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachas. The Mishnah says in Maseches Brachas, the first Pedik, Maskidin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelus. We also say it in the Haggadah. You mention Yitzias Mitzrayim not only by day but also at night. We say Kriya Shema in the morning. We say Kriya Shema at night, and in both we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shenemar, it says, Laman Tisker, Yisem Tzeschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Yimei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelus. What's the source? So the Gemara explains over there in Brachas, and we say it again in the Haggadah, right? Omer Abelazah ben Azariah, Arei Anik Ven Shivim Shana Velezachis Yishtami Yitzis Mitzrayim, Balelus Ashadar Shem Ben Zoyma. I never knew the source for mentioning Yitzis Mitzrayim at night, until Ben Zoyma explained that the Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh Laman Tisker Yisem Tzeschem Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. You should remember the day that you left Mitzrayim all the days of your life. It could have said Yimei Chayecha, Bi Yimei Chayecha, B'Meshech Yimei Chayecha. What's Kol Yimei Chayecha? So he explains Yimei Chayecha is Hayamim. Kol Yimei Chayecha Lo V'Yalelus. The days of your life, you would think you only have to do it on the days of your life. In other words, when it's daytime, throughout your entire life. That's what's Kol Yimei Chayecha, all the days of your life. What's mean all? It means also the nights. So from here we learn that there's a mitzvah to mention. And mentioning means not just mentioning with words, but mentioning means internalizing it. Yitzias Mitzrayim every day by day and by night. Or Mitzrayim, and the Mishnah continues, Yimei Chayecha El Amazah, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lavi L'Meisa Mashiach. Shalachin Gam Yimeisa Mashiach Yaskiri Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Chachamim say that Yimei Chayecha refers to this world, or Lamhaza, this time. Kol Yimei Chayecha means even when Mashiach comes. Then, too, there will be an obligation to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, even though you could think, as Chazal explained, what's the big deal? Once the Geula comes, what do you have to remember the old Geula, which wasn't complete anyway? But still, there's a chiyuv, even when Mashiach comes, to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what do we see from this mitzvah? That every single day of my life I have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. So you could say it's just remembering it. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, it's not just remembering it, it's remembering it in a way that it affects me. I'm remembering it because it's relevant to my life today. That's why he says in Tanya, b'chol dor v'dor, b'chol yom v'yom. Even though the Mishnah only says b'chol dor v'dor. Base. Al pisa move on. Based on this, we can understand Shabbin Yitzis Mitzrayim, Yeshtam Kama Madregas. Base, but it's not a contradiction. So then why is there a Seder on Pesach? Every day you're saying is Yitzis Mitzrayim. The answer is because Yitzis Mitzrayim itself exists on different levels, different states. First is Yitzias Mitzrayim the way it happened the first time when it actually happened. Then they pushed it left Egypt. You know that we're not reenacting. We're not going back to Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim. I once got an offer before Pesach. Somebody wanted to do a cruise on the Yam Suf. He wanted to do a cruise for Pesach on the Yam Suf, on the Red Sea. So yeah, he just tried to persuade me to come. So he says, imagine Shvi Shel Pesach in the morning. Yeah, you're reading the Torah about Kriyas Yamsuf and you're actually in the same place. What can be a greater experience? So I asked him if he could promise me that there's going to be Kriyas Yamsuf over there. The water is actually going to split. So he said, the Atkan that day, he can't promise. Okay. So that Kriyas Yamsuf I can have also wherever I am. So there's no replacement for that. The Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Poyel B'Pashtos, that they actually went out. That's number one. That's one level of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The physical experience geographically being emancipated from slavery and bondage. The next level is re-enacting it and celebrating it, commemorating it every single year. Every year we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan. It starts the day before with offering the Karban Pesach. Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. And then celebrating the Yom Tov for 7 days in Eretz Yisrael, in which we eat matzahs, the Pasuk says, Shiva Seva Matzahs Techelu. And this is commemorating the first Yitzias Mitzrayim. And on this commemoration, that's when Chazal say, you ought to see yourself as though you yourself left Mitzrayim. It's not just telling us ancient story about our forefathers. And this obligation is during the Haggadah, during the Seder. When we tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that you're not just telling a story, you're reenacting the story, physically and emotionally. And that chiyuv is the night of Tesvav Nisan. In the Haggadah, we have the drashas of Chazal, right? Yachal Merish Chaydash Talmud Lamin Bayayimahu. Iba Yayimahu Yachal Mubayid Yayim Talmud Lamin Bavurzeh. When is the actual chiyuv to tell the story and to do everything that we do to reenact the story? So it's at night. That's why he says, Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li. So we say, Bavur Zeh, because of this, you're pointing to something. What's this? B'shashiash matzo marim menachem lefanacha. When the matzah is on the table, and the marim is on the table, and it's in front of me. And I'm saying, for these mitzvahs, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, so when do we do these mitzvahs? At night. You don't eat matzah by day, you don't eat matzah by Rosh Chodesh. So from here we learn that all of this is an obligation at night. That's the second level. For Noisif Lazad, then we have the third level, Yeshni and Yitzis Mitzrayim, Kumar Shuhu, Bechol Yoim V'Yoim, Shazawiyin the Krishma. Then you have the experience of Yitzis Mitzrayim every single day, Bechol Yoim V'Yoim, and primarily this is during the time of Kriyashma, when we reach Shema, when we fulfill the mitzvah of mentioning Yitzis Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyis Lechem Lelekim. V'av Shebekosav Nemem Bavur Zeh. Even though the pasuk it says, "We got to levincha bayem olam and bavurze asa Hashem li b'tesim b'mitzrayim," that asa Hashem li is bavurze when there's matzah and mutter. We don't have matzah and mutter every morning by Krishna. Hare kishem sheyeshne in the bavurze b'shasher matzah mutter menachem lefanacha begashmis kipshutay. K'may kin yeshne in the matzah mutter v'yisaidim as a pesach matzah mutter menachem lefanacha beruchnis. V'lechen yeshne in ditzis mitzrayim bechal yom v'lo beruchnis. Kivin shegam bechal yom yeshne in the bavurze b'shasher matzah mutter menachem lefanacha beruchnis. So he says something very interesting. The bavurze could be physically. There's matzah and mutter in front of me. And therefore, it's a different level of Yitzias Mitzrayim and a different level of experience. So how does that apply to every day when you don't have the Bavur? It says, you also have a Bavur Zeh. But just like there's different levels in Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's physically leaving Egypt. There's commemorating the departure of Egypt every year on that date. There's also commemorating the departure of Egypt spiritually every single day. So then the Matzah and Marit is a spiritual experience as well. The Menachem Lefanecha, it's also Bavur Zeh. Bavur Zeh, they're in front of you, but not physical matzah and mutter that I'm going to eat, but the matzah and mutter, and even Pesach matzah and mutter, spiritually. And that's why you can be at Yitzias Mitzrayim every day spiritually, because every day you have the matzah and mutter in front of you spiritually. Spiritually means, on an emotional level, a state of consciousness, a person is connecting to the matzah and mutter. He'll explain what this means. And then there's another thing in Yitzias Mitzrayim, even above everything else. A bigger chiddush is that even when Mashiach comes, And when Mashiach comes, the Navi says in Micha, the prophet Micah says, like the days that you left Mitzrayim, I will show you wonders. So the Zohar explains that La'asid, love of Mashiach, comes, the wonders will be so wondrous, they will be wondrous even relative to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's how wondrous they will be. So you would think Yitzias Mitzrayim should be completely eclipsed. Ki meitzeis chameretz Mitzrayim. Like when you left Egypt, arenu niflois, I will show you wonders. So the Zohar explains it means there will be wonders even that Yitzias Mitzrayim will say, wow. Even Legabe, what happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Jews will say, wow. So that wow is so powerful it should eclipse Yitzias Mitzrayim. And this is the Chiddush, Kol Yimei Chayach Elohavi L'Maisa Mashiach, that even then, the story of the Exodus of Egypt is significant. It will occupy a space. The Gemara says it's going to be an inyan of Tafel. Tafel means it's going to be secondary, subservient, but it's still going to occupy a significant space. V'hainu Shebi Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yeshnam Kama V'Kama Dargis. So we see from here that the commemoration of Mitzrayim exists on different levels, and here he gave four. The first is the way it happened, physically, geographically. The second is it's commemorated every year, particularly on that day or that night, Tesvav Nisan, with the Seder, with Matzah, with Mara, with Pesach, when you tell the story, V'gadat L'Vincha, and all the obligations, Bavur Zeh, and then you say, Chayav Adam Liris Atz Mekili Yotzim Mitzrayim. A third level is every single day. And here you don't have the physical setup of the Seder, but you still have the spiritual memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the spiritual element of Matzah and Maran. And then the fourth level is even when Mashiach comes. In exile, I understand, you hold on to some geula, but even when Mashiach comes, you could let go of it, you still remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a fourth level. V'zel k'meitzeis chameret Mitzrayim arenu nifloyes. And this is the meaning of the Navi's words, Micha. That the way, just like the days you left Mitzrayim, I will show you niflois wonders. She may say, "Chemeretz Mitzrayim, hey maschalavus in a senes siyua bein di yitzis Mitzrayim kamayshul b'chol shana b'tasvav benissen. V'gam bein di yitzis Mitzrayim kamayshul b'chol yoyim shagam oz chayav ad mudas esatz mikul yatzim Mitzrayim. V'atches a noisen koyach afilu bein di yitzis Mitzrayim shem b'mayis hamashiach. Ki may say, "Chemeretz Mitzrayim, but under niflois means." That just like you left Mitzrayim, I will show you wonders. So he says, so the days that you left Mitzrayim, that experience is the beginning. And it gives siyua, it gives assistance to be able to experience Yitzias Mitzrayim every year, Tesvavnis, and to be able to experience Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. And not only that, to be able to have Yitzias Mitzrayim even when Mashiach comes. Shemekivan shagam az yaskiru Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vade zikodin zo al pitaitis emes. Since then, we will also mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. And this is remembering according to Torah's Emes, according to the truth of Torah, which means it's not just a faint memory or nostalgia that's irrelevant, you know, just fine, why not, just, you know, memories of this day. But it's meaningful. It's the Torah wants you to remember it. It means that it's going to affect something even in the days of Mashiach. Even in the situation of Arenu Niflois, the time of the Geula, Yitzias Mitzrayim is impactful. Tzadok Lahavin, here we have to understand. The Hine Mailis in Mesa Mashiach Godla Beyoser. Kedisa Bemedrisha Oilam Haza Edis in Hayu Avila Mesa Mashiach Yunisuya. The virtue, the greatness of the days of Mashiach is awesome, it's tremendous, it's stupendous. The Medrash says in Parshas Boy, Shmois Rabba, Parshat Tzvav, it's Parshas Boy, that this world is like Edison. Our relationship to Hashem is like a betrothal. It's called Edison. Yemaisa Mashiach is going to be like a marriage, Nisuyan. And we know the difference between Edison and Nisuyan is a completely different realm. The time of the Gemara, the time of Mishnayos and Gemara, you know, marriage had two phases, right? There was Edison. And then 12 months later, there were Nisuyan. Edison is that the Kala and the Chasen actually got married. He gave her the ring. And he said, I read Makodashusly in front of two witnesses. So legally, halachically, they were a full husband and wife. With all of the, with everything that's represented by that. If she wants to go somewhere, if she wants to get married to somebody else, she needs a get. But she was still living in her home, in her parents' home, and he was living in his house. They were not living together yet. They weren't playing house yet. And then there were 12 months later, time for her to prepare for the wedding and him to prepare for the wedding and get jewelry and whatever it is. They usually needed 12 months. So only 12 months later did they have what we call a chasana. And that's when they had a chuppah and that's when they had a meal and dancing and sheva brachas. That was only nisuyin 12 months later. And then after that, they move into one house and they begin living together as a husband and wife, v'hayu l'basar echad, becoming one on every level. So it's a whole different ballgame. Erusin is they're completely still separate. They're living different lives, even though technically, halachically, they're married, but they're married in two different homes. And then 12 months later was Nisuyin. Nisuyin, you have the beginning of the achdus of actually living together physically and everything that comes with that. That's called Erusin and Nisuyin. Today, we do everything together. We do Erusin and Nisuyin in the same night under the chuppah. We take a break. We take a break. The reading of the ksuva is usually the break between the Erusin and the Nisuyin. The first half of the chuppah is called Erusin. And then there's the ksuva. They read the ksuva. And then you have the second half, which is Sheva Brachas. So the Medrash says something very interesting. Our relationship with Hashem till Mashiach comes is like Erusin. We're married, we're connected, but it's still Erusin. The Yemei HaMashiach is going to be Nisuyin. And of course everybody understands how drastic the difference of Erusin and Nisuyin is. The definition of Erusin is more basically that he belongs to her and she belongs to him in the sense that they don't go to anybody else. But in terms of their own relationship, they're not really together. So the relationship is defined by the fact that I don't belong to anybody else. It's not so much I know I'm not with you, but I don't have anybody else. So to speak. Yeah, it's an interesting way of putting it. The burden, not the benefit. Or at least less of the benefit. Right, right. There's a lot of halachas that happen only after Nisuyin, not before Nisuyin. Huh? Yeah, hopefully. They fight when the wedding should be, where the wedding should be, who should be the caterer. Yeah. What does the Medrash bring out here? That the relationship of Yemei HaMashiach is of a completely different magnitude. Ubefrat lefi amuvaleel. Even more, you see this based on what the Zohar explained, what we said earlier, that La'asid Lavi, when Mashiach comes, the wonders will be wonders even relative to the wonders of Metzias Mitzrayim. So it only describes the magnitude of the wonders. Even more so, this is emphasized based on what's explained in Kabbalah and in Chassidus. But Peter Shakos of the explanation of the Pasuk in Yeshaya Hanavi. Yeshaya Hanavi describes the time of Mashiach. He says, "V'nigla kvoid Hashem, v'ro chol basar yachdav, kifi Hashem dibir." The glory of Hashem will be revealed, and all flesh will see that Hashem's mouth spoke. So this is very interesting. How do you explain this pasuk? So the Mefarshim usually explain that the glory of Hashem will be revealed, and everyone will see that Hashem's mouth spoke, meaning they will see the realization of God's promises. They will see what his mouth spoke. Now there's promises, but they're not realized in the material world. V'ro ki pi Hashem diber, they'll see, right, what God's mouth spoke. In other words, they'll see the materialization of it, the execution of it, not just promises. That's the pshat bepashtus. In Kabbalah and Chassidus, the pshat is much deeper. That's also true. We'll see all the promises realized. We'll see the words. It won't just be words. The words will be implemented, executed. V'ro kipi Hashem dibber means it actually describes a state of consciousness. It's not just a lot of good things will happen and all of his promises will be fulfilled. That's not a small thing. But it really represents the entire difference in reality, perception of reality, meaning. So he says as Sheyiyah hagilui dekvedei v'atzmi shal malach malcham lachem HaKadosh Baruch. This is also a quote from the Haggadah. There will be the revelation of the kvedei, the glory, v'atzmi, the essence. Like it says, Nigla aleya melech malcham lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidei u'ba'atzmai u'ga'olam, right? We say that in the Haggadah. So that's what he's quoting. There'll be the revelation of the kvoidei, the glory and the essence of the melech malcham lachem, the king of kings, Hashem. The Amar Malka Chuli. The Gemara has an expression, Amar Malka Akartura. The king speaks and the mountain gets uprooted. The Gemara says in Baba Basra. So he says, what does it mean the Gili will be Kipi Hashem Dibber? We'll see Amar Malka, we'll understand that the words of the king, their presence, their power. Bashadvar Melech Shilton, the Pasuk says in Kehelas, the word of the king rules. What does this mean in our case? Over there it's talking about a regular king. He rules through his words, through his commandments. Amar Malka, king says, they'll uproot the mountain. But we're applying it here to all of reality. The pasuk says, "Until him through the word of Hashem, heaven was created. Heaven was created, was made, and through the spirit of his mouth, all of its troops." That's the pshat. We're going to see kipi Hashem dibber. You're going to see in everything the dvar Hashem. Viro kol basa yachdav. All flesh will see that what is the essence of every existence? It's kipi Hashem dibber. It's that the mouth of Hashem is speaking it into existence. It's called koyach hapoyel benifel. Koyach hapoyel means the power of the creator in the created. Now, I look at a coffee bean or a cup of coffee, I see coffee. I look at a cup, I see a cup. I look at the heaven, I see heaven. I look at an eclipse of the sun. So it's a fascinating astronomical phenomenon. Anything I look at, well, I shouldn't look at the eclipse of the sun unless you have the right glasses. So you shouldn't look at that. You can hear about it. You have to be careful to look at it. You know, usually we know that you're not supposed to look at the sun, but with an eclipse, you think you could look at the sun, right? It's deceiving. You think you could look at it, but you can't. It's dangerous. So the point is, everything in the world that we see, what we see is the outer reality of it, the physical reality. Means not just that the promises will be realized, we'll see taka what he said was true. Means that in everything you'll see that it's the pi Hashem dibber. It's an embodiment, it's a manifestation, it's a derivative of divine consciousness, of divine energy that vitalizes it. That means you're going to see the koyach hapoyel benifel. That's kipi Hashem dibber. We'll see the koyach hapoyel in the nifl. So that's what he's saying. This is the explanation of kipi Hashem dibber. That there'll be the gili of kvayde v'atzmi of malach malcham lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amar Malka, the words of the king that shefekt the mountain. The Dvar Melech, the words of the king that shilton that rule. The Dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. So to be able to see that the whole world is essentially a manifestation of divine energy, divine words. Bashamayim, ba'aretz, u'b'chol tzvayim, in the heaven, in the earth, and in all of their legions. So, if this is all going to be when Mashiach comes, first of all, the Medrash says nisuyin, not erusin. Second of all, the Zohar says niflayis, even relative to Yitzis Mitzrayim. Third of all, kipi Hashem dibber, that the whole world will be a manifestation of the divine. Ve'ek shayich loymar sha'azikot in the Yitzis Mitzrayim yiyah, v'meila yifal ezin yin gamba matzav ma'atzav d'maisa Mashiach. All this didn't exist after Yitzias Mitzrayim. There wasn't you had the Eresim, but not the Nisui. You didn't have Niflayas on this level. You didn't have Kipi Hashem Dibber in a revealed, visceral way. Just like we relate now to the physical as reality, we'll basically say that the whole physical is essentially divine energy, simply embodied in the physical world. Still, how do you say that the memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim is so significant that it needs to be even when Mashiach comes, and it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact, meaning it's going to be mechader something. It's going to innovate something. It's going to contribute something to the state of consciousness during Mashiach.
Wow, is this
Ah, very nice. I was thinking about it, that it's a continuation of what we learned before Purim, about Purim being relevant, being potent when Mashiach comes.
Yeah, but the concept of Erosim and the
same. Right.
Like is a greater level
to Pesach.
Right.
Again, right. Yeah. So Taka, it says, Kol HaMoedim B'Telim. We learned from the Medrash that all the holidays will be obliterated, which means they're going to be like the candle in the sunlight, besides Purim, and some opinions say Yom Kippur. And that includes Pesach also. But still, the Haggadah tells us that mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Chiyuv will be L'Maisa Mashiach also. The mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, that's going to be also L'maisa Mashiach. Kol Yemei Chayecha. What's the meaning of that? What's the significance of that? Right. So if that's what we're saying. If the Nisuyin eclipses the Erisin, still we say you have to talk about the Erisin. Like the husband and wife, even they're married and they have a beautiful, blissful marriage, they're going to be nostalgic about the time that they were separated for the first 12 months. The point of the explanation in all of this is behekdim sha'inyan de mitzrayim u'inyan de mitzarim u'gvulam. For this, we have to understand what Mitzrayim really is. Mitzrayim means Egypt. It's a land. It's the name of a country. But the word Mitzrayim in Lashon Kodesh means mitzarim u'gvulam. Meitzarim, of course, means borders, boundaries. Gvulim, also gvul is boundaries, borders, like a gvul. A gvul is a border. The word meitzar means confining boundaries, restrictive boundaries. When a person is in a restrictive place, a restricted place, it's called you're in a place of meitzar, like it says in Tehillim, right? Min ha-meitzar, karasi, ya anani ba-merchav, ya. Meitzar is the opposite of merchav. Merchav is expansive. And meitzar, from the word tsar, when you want to say somebody is stingy, you say he's a tsar ayin. His eye is very narrow. You know, he loves being restricted and he can't tolerate when other people have more, or maybe even he himself, he's stingy on himself. The word tsara means a place of distress, a place of angst. I'm in a very narrow place. Bein hamitzarim, it says in Eicha, kol roit feha hisigua, bein hamitzarim, all of her pursuers reached her between the mitzarim, between the boundaries. In other words, there was a very narrow path to escape, and therefore the Jews were trapped by the enemy. That's why it's called bein hamitzarim, the 3 weeks between the mitzarim. So Mitzrayim represents a phenomenon, it represents a reality, a concept. It's not just a concept, it's a reality called Meitzarim Agvulim. Living in a space of confinement, restrictedness, distress, narrowness. V'zeu gam ken azbara eich ev shaliyas Mitzrayim kipshuta ev ad l'Mitzrayim erva saritz. And this is really the explanation. How can there be a phenomenon called Mitzrayim? The physical Mitzrayim, the physical bondage in Egypt. And Mitzrayim, which is even Ervas Haaretz, it's described as the place of the nakedness of the world, meaning a place of promiscuity, a place of moral depravity. How does such a thing happen? It doesn't start in the depravity. It starts in holiness. Everything starts in holiness. And then it evolves and evolves and evolves until it gets distorted to a point that you can't recognize it. How does it start in holiness? It starts with Mitzrayim B'Kedusha. Mitzrayim B'Kedusha is Egypt the way it's still in holy Egypt. Mitzrayim Miloshin Meitzar Gvul. Where the holiness itself is restricted. It's finite. And from there, the situation devolves. Heichel Ma Meitzar Gvul Harishin. It begins with the first boundary. What's the first boundary? Shahu Tzimtzum Adishin. This is called the first Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum Adishin. Shalzen Nemar. On this it says, the Gemara says, Bereisha. First I'll say without the parentheses. Bereisha Chashecha V'hadir Nahayra. First there was darkness, then there was light. Bereisha means, Lefnei Seder Ha'ishtalshlus. In the beginning, before Seder Ha'ishtalshlus, is Chashecha. Inyan HaTzimtzum. And then after that is light. Hine atzimtzum arishin. Hu anesinis makrim lekach shala acherei haishtalshulus. Misachim uparsoyez vavdolus. Adla oifen de ein areich. Yuchalias hamitzarim de gvulim de oilam haza agashmi, oilam haza achumri. Oilam haza shabay goivrim ayanam shalhepech akdusha. Vaachem izen nasa mitzrayim kipshuta. Kemavur baruch bekama makamas. Because there's a Mitzrayim in the original source called Tzimtzum. This allows that after many, many levels, and many what's called Hishtalshlus, an evolution, with many what's called, he calls Misachim, veils, Parsoyas, curtains, Havdolis, separations, Ad Lo'ifen De'en Arech, to the point that there's quantum leaps, but ultimately there can be confinements and restrictions that we encounter in our physical world, which is a brute world, where the antithesis of holiness prevails, till you have a real Mitzrayim, the visceral Mitzrayim that the Jewish people experienced. But where does it begin? It begins in a very, very subtle, even holy, sacred space, which he calls it the Tzimtzum. The point of this is, Shemitzat HaGvura is Shalomayla. Because of the Gvura above. Gvura means restriction. Shereishis HaGvura is Uinyan Tzimtzum Arishin. And the beginning of Gvura is the first Tzimtzum. Hinei Mizeh Nasa Tzimtzum. From this began what's called Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means restriction. Like Litzamtzem is to restrict, to filter, to limit. Ad Litzimtzum Shein Lamata Memenu. And then from this ultimately there's a Tzimtzum that there's no lower Tzimtzum than this. It's a very, very intense restriction. Achai Deza Yachaliyas Isavas Dedein Lehanyin Leh. Till there could be the creation of something The Medrash says that Hashem saw certain worlds. He says, "Dein lo yani le, this I don't want." And this is also a creation. The fact that you say, "I don't want this," this creates something. Because if you don't want it, it means it's something you don't want. If it's something you don't want, so that itself is a creation. But the nature of the creation is that I don't want it. So this is called a negative creation. It's a creation, and the chemistry of this creation is that Hashem doesn't want it. That's its definition. Huh? The Medrash says Hashem looked at certain worlds. He says, "Dein hanyan le, this I want. This are enjoyable hanyan. It's like hanyan. It has hanah. It has benefit. It's good. And dein loy hanyan le, this I don't want." So Chassidus explains that that's the definition of evil. How can it exist from Hashem? Yeah. The fact that he says, "This I don't want." So on one hand, this gives it existence, because this I don't want. You already have a relationship with it. It's like, you I don't like. That means we're connected. If we're not connected, then you I don't like means we're connected. But what's the definition of the connection? Definition of the connection is, get out of my sight. So the very fact that Hashem says, "Dein lahanyalei," that gives it existence. But what's the nature of its existence? The nature of its, everything is only divine. So if he says, "I don't want," so that's already a divine energy, right? I don't want. But what's the definition of what gives it energy? What gives it energy is that I don't want it. So by definition, its entire existence is that it doesn't really exist. That's its existence. Its existence is that the Creator says, "I don't want this." So therefore, the relationship with it is one that essentially it exists. But what's the definition of its existence? That it doesn't exist. So that's why ultimately it has no real substance. It has no eternity. Because it's rooted in what's called Dein Loy Hanyin Le. That's what he says. Gamzeu Inyan Shel Hishavus. This is also a Hishavus. It exists not to exist. And if you look at it deep down, if you go down to its deepest chemistry, you won't find positive existence. You'll find negative existence. It exists because he said, "This I don't want." When we say, "I don't want something," it exists before "I don't want it," right? I don't like this food. I don't like this person. You existed before me. But what happens if your words and will defines the existence? So by you saying, "I don't want it," that's what made it exist. So what's the nature of its existence? It's a little bit of an abstract idea. You understand? Huh?
The guy on the island. Two shows. One I dab and one I don't have.
Right. He doesn't really have a hero. Huh? You know his joke? There was a Jew, there was a shipwreck, and a Jew was on an island, stuck there. So somebody came to rescue him one day. And he sees this one Jew, and he built himself, this whole community, built two shuls. He says, "What do you need two shuls?" He says, "That shul I don't step foot into. I'll never go there." No, so that's what he's saying. Dein, this, loy hanyin le, this I don't want. That, and that becomes its energy. So if you go to the skeleton of it, what is it? It's something that he doesn't want. In other words, it's something that's divorced from the Creator, and the whole definition of life is the Creator. So that's why its entire existence is simply an execution of Dein Loy Hanyin Le. That's why it doesn't have real substance. It doesn't have real substance. It doesn't have eternity. Because the chemistry of its existence is Dein Loy Hanyin Le, that I don't want it.
The question of why would God create a negative, don't want,
right. So why say Dein Loy Hanyin Le and have it? L'chatchila don't have it. Right. Okay, we'll see. Yeah. No, that this things that the nature of the creation is, that's what evil really is. Evil exists or doesn't exist. So we know, unfortunately, right? It wreaks havoc. It wreaks havoc every single day in our lives and in the world. But on the other hand, it doesn't have eternal power. All evil ultimately will be disintegrated. It doesn't have its temporary power and its superficial power. It's powerful. It can wreak havoc, no question. But ultimately, in the ultimate core, it doesn't have a kayach. That's why everything, every system that's evil, any regime that's evil, ultimately it disintegrates. It could take a long time. And during that time, it's painful, no question. Huh? So that's what he's saying. It was created with the Dein Loy Hanyin Le. Right. So that's well, what's the definition of its creation? Not that I want it, that I don't want it. And that is what gives it chiyus. What gives it chayus is, what gives it its identity is that I don't want it. That was another level. So what's the nekudah here? He's saying the beginning of Mitzrayim is Meitzar. Meitzar means limits. What's the first limit? The first limit is Tzimtzum, Harishon. What's Tzimtzum Harishon? What is the Tzimtzum Harishon that we're talking about here? The Arizal teaches, yeah, we learned this quite a few times, the Arizal teaches that pre-creation, and when we say pre-creation, we don't mean a few years ago pre-creation, we mean pre-creation before there was even a before, because time itself is also creation. So when you say before creation, it doesn't mean a few years before creation. It means before there was a concept called before, right? Before is before there was a before, because time is a creation just like space is a creation. So the Arizal teaches, this is the beginning of the Sefer Eitz Chaim, which is the fundamental Kabbalistic work of the Arizal, the Tree of Life. It was written by his student, Reb Chaim Vital. So he explains that pre-creation, and again, pre means pre, even any concept that we relate to creation, which is time and space. Eir Ein Sof, the light of the Ein Sof, filled all space. And again, when he means all space, it's not like there was a space that it filled. All space means, not just physically, but conceptually, all space, there was no definition, there was no reality outside of the Ein Sof. And he puts the word, he says the words, V'loya yamakim lamida sa'ilam, is there was no space for the existence of the worlds. And again, space here doesn't mean I'm sitting on a chair, so you can't sit on that chair. It means that too, but it means something much deeper. Loya yamakim means there was no conceptual space for it. The very concept was non-existent. It's like, you'll have in Svarim, we'll say, Svara zu ein lamakim. This idea has no space. What does it mean it has no space? There's no chair for it? Yeah. In a yeshiva, sometimes somebody will give a shiur, say, Der vart hat kein artnisht. This idea hat kein artnisht. This svara, this logic doesn't have a place in the base medrash. It doesn't have its own place. I'll give you a chair here, put it here. Right? That's a joke. It's not about a chair. I can give you 1,000 chairs. A svara b'chal doesn't need a space. It doesn't have to be anywhere. It's beyond space. Right? Ideas don't exist in geographical space. They exist in a place that's beyond space, beyond makam. The idea, aimless makam, means it has no place in reality. It's what you're saying is ludicrous, yeah? You'll say 2 + 2 = 7. Okay, I mean, fine. You want to argue? You can argue. And even better, 2 + 2 = pink. Okay, fine. It's missing a chair. Aimless makam. I don't even know what you said. You didn't say anything. You want to talk rubbish? Talk rubbish. I mean, you want to just make fun of terms? You can make fun of terms. But the point is, when you say lahaya makam lamidas oilam, it means the concept of oilam is nishkven ken art for them. If there's an expression in Chassidus that pre tzimtzum elikus bepshitus va'oilam is behischachus. The only pshitus, the only reality was elikus was ein sof. Tzimtzum changed everything. What did tzimtzum do? The Arizal says this. The tzimtzum was that in order to create a world, a universe, so Hashem, this is the word tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means withdrew. He was mitzamtzum. Mitzamtzum means like withdrew or restricted or condensed or limited. He withdrew the tzimtzum. He withdrew the presence of the Ein Sof, creating what's called a chalal, an empty space. Now this empty space is devoid of the Ein Sof. It's called chalal, empty. Makam panay. That's the language in Kabbalah. What does it mean it's empty space? It's now not experiencing itself as Ein Sof. It's empty from that. So that's why there's an Eitz Chaim, there's a picture, there's an image, right, of a circle. And the circle is a complete circle. It's a perfect circle. And inside that circle, there's emptiness, the void. So where did the Ein Sof go? It's now encircling everywhere around the circle. Right, and by the way, the whole famous argument of Tzimtzum is literal or not literal, big argument in Kabbalah, this is all based on this story. What did Arizal mean when he used the word Tzimtzum? Is it Kipshutai? Is it literal? Is it not Kipshutai? Is it not literal? The Baal Shem Tov, the Alter Rebbe, felt strongly this was their Shitta based on the side of Chassidus. One of the foundations said that Tzimtzum is not Kipshutai. In other words, when you say withdrew, it doesn't mean literally withdrew. So the presence of Ein Sof is not there. It means it's not conspicuously manifested in the consciousness of the universe. Because if it would be manifested in the consciousness of the universe, right, there would be no consciousness of universe. It would be Ein Sof and infinite. So that's what the Tzimtzum is. The Tzimtzum is like a concealment. After that, in this empty space, this is where the entire process of creation begins. The entire process of creation begins where? In this empty space. Now, when you say empty space, what does it really mean, empty space? Is the Tzimtzum literal or not literal? And that's going to be the big discussion here. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Mitzrayim is the Tzimtzum. Because what does the Tzimtzum accomplish? The Tzimtzum accomplishes the first concept of Gvul, the first concept of finiteness, the first concept of a place in which you're detached, at least in your own consciousness, from infinity. That's what it creates. And that's called Meitzar Gvul. That's the first Meitzar Gvul. Now this level of Tzimtzum, right, you're talking about before the whole Seder Ishtal Shlos. Everything comes after the Tzimtzum. And that's what he brings in the Gemara, Bereshah HaShoicha V'Hadr Nahira. The Gemara says in Shabbos, that's what he's referring to, Shabbos Ayin Zayin, yeah, he says in 24, Shabbos Ayin Zayin. The Gemara says there that Reb Zayda met Reb Yehuda. And he saw that Reb Yehuda was in a very, very joyous mood. And whatever he can ask him, he'll get an answer. He saw that b'diche daite, he was in a very happy mood. Whatever he asks, kol chalalei alma, anything in the space of the world, he can get an answer. So now, if you're standing in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was considered the Gadol Hador, the greatest, one of the greatest of the generation, and you could see any question you ask, he'll answer you. What do you ask? What's the first question you ask? What do you think? Anybody? What would be the first question you'd ask? Okay. I'll tell you what he asked. Why is it that in most farms, when goats and sheep leave, the goats always go ahead of the sheep? This is what he decided to ask. My time is Imazgan Bereisha. The goats usually go ahead of the sheep. So what did Rabbi Yehuda answer? Because they follow the creation of the world. The creation of the world first was darkness and then was light. Bereisha Chashoicha V'Hadr Nahira. So Rashi explains that most goats are black, are dark, and most sheep are white. So what comes first? Vayi erev, vayi voiker. First is darkness, then is light. So of course, the goats have to go first before the sheep, because first you have blackness, then you have whiteness. First is night, then is day. And that's the answer. He got an answer to his question. It's interesting. This was his question. So Rashi just says that stam izim shchayris and stam recheles levonis. Most izim, at least then, were shchayris, and most recheles, most sheep, were white. So that's what he meant. Kibriyos shalom, the goats and the sheep are following the rhythm of creation. Yeah. So this is the Gemara he brings here. So it's interesting. He saw that he was in a good mood, and he can ask him kol chalolei da alma, anything about the space of the world. So he decided to ask about goats and sheep. So the Maima explains, Chassidus explains that this is a very deep conversation. Kol chalola da alma is a remez for what it says in Kabbalah, the chalol, the emptiness of the world. The emptiness of the world. That's what he wanted to ask him about. And he explained to him that the system of creation is that there's always first darkness and then there's light. Because everything begins with the Tzimtzum. If everything begins with the Tzimtzum, that means that the very ability for existence is because there was darkness. Darkness means the suspension of the light. Darkness is the absence of light. When you light a candle in the dark, the darkness is vanished. The darkness is eliminated. So Bereshah Chashoicha V'Hadr Nahira, that's what he says. Before Seder Ishtal Shlos, everything began with Chashoicha. Afterwards is Nahira. So that means when we touch creation, even on the highest level of creation, we're touching a vacuum, we're touching something empty. And that's the pain of existence. The pain of existence doesn't begin with Mitzrayim down here. That's painful. But that's that's after many, many levels. The pain of existence begins with confronting the Tzimtzum. In other words, the very definition of existence is based on the fact that there is darkness. Because if there would be no darkness, there would be nothing called existence. So we're still talking in a very lofty level. Remember, this is higher than Atzilus. In the post-Tzimtzum world, there's no atheism. There's no evil. You're talking about the highest levels of holiness. This is all in Kedusha. Till you get to this world, to Olam Hazeh, until you get to Paray, until you get to Ham, until you get to Hamas, you're still going through, you know, billions, endless levels. But it begins in that moment where you're touching, you're confronting darkness. Why is this so important? The difference of goats, this is connected to goats and sheep as well. Esav is called Izim. Esav, right? Esav is Sayer. Seir Izim. Sayer is a goat. Yaakov is Haksavim Hifrid Yaakov. Yaakov is connected to sheep. The difference between goats and sheep is sheep are usually loyal animals. They're very loyal. They're very submissive. You say somebody is a sheep, you know, is a shefela. They're submissive. They follow the herd. Goats could be much more stubborn and sly, rebellious, independent. Yeah. So he says, first is going to be Izim. Esav is born first, and then is Yaakov. Because the whole purpose was to be able to confront the choshech of the tzimtzum, the darkness of the tzimtzum. So that means even the highest life, even the holiest life that is not encumbered by all of the blockages has to still deal with the biggest blockage. What's the biggest blockage? The tzimtzum. And that's why he asks him the question about chalol. The Gemara says, chalol ad alma, any question? He said, any question of the chalol based on the emptiness of the world. So he went to the beginning and explained to Bereisha Chashoicha v'hadar Nahira. There's an element of paradox at the core of existence, that on one hand, in order for existence to be, there had to be a tzimtzum. Without the tzimtzum, there would be no existence. That tzimtzum creates the first Mitzrayim, the first reality that in its own mind is devoid of infinity. In other words, it's finite. It's empty, it's a chalal, it has its shape, it has its form. What's the beginning of limitation? The beginning of limitation is that there's something outside of Ein Sof. Now remember, after that tzimtzum, what happens? Hashem brings in the energy back, because if not, you can't have a creation. But the energy is already filtered, it's condensed, it's called a kav, it's a line that goes into the post-tzimtzum reality. So from there begins the whole Mitzrayim. So even the most refined life, right? You have to talk about a great tzaddik, or somebody who's extremely spiritually sensitive. They may not be dealing with darkness on a brute level, but they're still dealing with darkness. They're dealing with the source of the darkness. They're dealing with Bereisha Chashoicha. It all begins with the darkness of Tzimtzum. And it's confronting that. It's looking at it and then steering it in its eyes and then saying it's not Kipshutai. It's the whole Mitzrayim is there for there to be Tias Mitzrayim. The whole Mitzrayim was created, the Bereisha Chashoicha, the beginning of darkness, was created for light. The painful challenge happens when I start taking Mitzrayim too seriously, meaning when I start thinking that Mitzrayim, that is the reality. Because I don't know, it's the tzimtzum of reality. It's the distortion of reality. And the distortion is created for me to be able to bring the light over there into. When the Mitzrayim becomes the ultimate reality, in other words, the chashoicha remains chashoicha, the darkness remains dark. Now I become a victim to it. Instead of me transforming it, transcending it, working with it, it defines me. So it begins in a very, very subtle, subtle place. The beginning, the genesis of all distortion is the beginning of the tzimtzum, which basically wasn't created by a person. It's created by Hashem. And that creation is that there's something outside of the Ein Sof. And in that empty space, now you have one Mitzrayim, another Mitzrayim, another Mitzrayim, all the way down to the Mitzrayim down here, where he says, to the point that he says, Dein lo hanyalei, this I don't want. What does it mean, this I don't want? It's also him. I don't want this. If I don't want this, it's also him. But what type of him is it? It's the him that I don't want. In other words, it's negative. It's also him. I don't want this. You're saying, is it, I don't want, like I hate you, or I don't care about you? You don't even exist in my vocabulary. So you have both, and that's also a relationship. The very fact that I say I'm indifferent to you, you know, when you're really, really indifferent to something, you don't even say it. In other words, the very fact that he's saying, I'm indifferent to this, that itself is a relationship. That itself is an energy.
If you're indifferent to something, it means it's like it doesn't exist anymore.
Right, but the very fact that he's emphasizing that, I'm indifferent, that's already conferring some divine significance on it. You're important enough that we have to say that you're not important.
I have Mitzrayim. Tzara means that there's an active sin in there. It's not just indifference, it's an active...
In a way, indifference is worse. When I hate something, there's like, you exist in my life, you know? Indifferent means like, I don't even want to... You're not even worth it enough for me to notice you. Right.
But in terms of the lesson itself, you have
a... Right, so you have to have a different level. You have a achas ahuva, achas snua, like you said.
But doesn't that define the meitzah? That it's something hated?
Certainly, yeah, certainly on one level. You have the hate, and then you have, I think, indifference. But that's also a relation. Right, 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 right. Yeah.
So God's indifference is actually worse than his enmity.
Yeah. Dein lei hanyin lei, when it's indifference, in a way, it becomes a lower form of klippa. Because it's like, it still exists. Because if he wouldn't be indifferent to it, it wouldn't exist. The very fact that I'm indifferent to you means there's a you. But what is your energy? Let's look. Your whole energy is God says, I'm indifferent to you. So that's your energy. So what do you represent in the ultimate scheme of reality?
So that's the rock bottom.
Yeah, that's rock bottom. And on every level we say there has to be Yetzias Mitzrayim. I have to go out of Mitzrayim. So it all begins in the first moment of Tzimtzum, where there is the conception, the concept that there could be something outside of Ein Sof. Now, remember, till we hit Olam Haza, there's still constantly the presence of God. But the presence of Hashem post-Tzimtzum is already not like pre-Tzimtzum. It's already a Mitzrayim. Pre-Tzimtzum, there's no Makom, there's no concept of anything else. Post-Tzimtzum, there's already a concept of something else. There's an empty space. But now we're going to have the truth. And the truth is that Ein Oid Mulvaday. That's why it says pre-Tzimtzum, Elikus B'Pshittus, U'Metzias B'Ischachos. Post-Tzimtzum, Metzias B'Pshittus, and Elikus B'Ischachos. In other words, pre-Tzimtzum reality, which exists always, it's not an issue of time, it's now too. The nature of reality, pre-Tzimtzum, is that Elikus is Pshittus. That's the only reality. Metzias is a chiddush. It's like, what are you talking about? Metzias means reality that we define as reality. After Tzimtzum, Metzias is B'Pshittus. Elikus is now the chiddush. The intuitive reality is the reality I'm relating to. That begins Mitzrayim. That all boundaries in people, all confinements in people's lives, any restriction that restricts your life, anything that puts you into a place of pressure and stress and anxiety, blame it on the Tzimtzum. What do they say? It's the economy stupid, it's the Tzimtzum stupid. Huh?
Essential, in a way, to our existence, the Tzimtzum. Without
symptoms, we would not. Yeah. The symptom is the source of existence. And the symptom is the source of the pain of existence. And the point is that existence comes with the pain of existence. Why? Because the greatest pain of existence is the sense that in order to exist, I need to be separate. But the truth is, I'm not separate. So on one hand, the whole existence is totally in the Tzimtzum. Without Tzimtzum, there's no existence, because everything is part of the Ein Sof. On the other hand, that very definition of existence comes with a very profound sense of anxiety and pain. Why? Because the worst thing for existence is to exist. In other words, the fact that the separateness from Ein Sof is a very, very painful reality. On the other hand, if everything was Ein Sof, there's no existence outside of Ein Sof. So that's why the Avod of Yetzias Mitzrayim essentially is at the core of everything. Because Mitzrayim means there's a concept called Meitzar. In other words, the fact that the Ein Sof becomes limited, becomes Meitzar, creates an empty space. That's the beginning of Mitzrayim. And then there's the whole Avod of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The question is, what level of tzimtzum I'm touching? But I'm always touching a level of tzimtzum when I'm facing darkness. All darkness is touching tzimtzum. And everything begins with that state of choshech. Bereshech hashoyech v'hada nahira. The nahira comes afterwards. Because the prerequisite for existence was not light, but darkness, the suspension of light. And all of existence comes into that space. So when somebody says, you know, why am I confronting darkness? On the highest level, we confront darkness. The highest world, the highest level of reality confronts a darkness. It confronts chashaycha. That's what it means that creation happened. What does it mean creation happened? What does it mean? There was creation. What are we saying? We're saying, in other words, creation happened means that we're confronting a chayshach. We're confronting a darkness. There's something I'm confronting. What is it that I'm confronting? I'm confronting a reality that experiences itself and perceives itself as alone on some level, as detached, as separate, as something outside of the derivative of pure infinity. Now, how that's translating in your life, this 9.9 billion ways. But it's always, it's touching this point. Why is that so important? Because all healing comes not from dealing with symptoms, but dealing with the cause. So if you really want to heal, you have to go back to Tzimtzumish. If you want to talk with symptoms, fine, just Tylenol. We could all take Tylenol. Just take a coffee, another coffee, another Tylenol. Take an Advil, take something more serious. But the infection behind it is the Tzimtzum addition. We're banging, you know, I'm banging against a wall. There's a wall, there's a choshek there, there's a Tzimtzum there. And that's what I'm dealing with. The Olam is related to what I'm talking about. It's a little abstract, huh? Let's see a little more inside, because he now translates it in Avodah. Val zeh nemar, on this it says, Gam es ha'olam nosan belibam. The pasuk says in Koheles, it's a beautiful pasuk. I mean, every pasuk is beautiful, but it's a very special pasuk. Gam es ha'olam nosan belibam. The world he placed in their heart. This means in your heart, you have access to the whole universe. You see why I'm saying it's a beautiful pasuk. You know how we like to see, you have a globe in your house, and you like to look at the globe and it lights up. It's very interesting, because like you feel like you have the world. I mean, it's not quite, but you know when you have that globe, oh, I have Australia, and I have New Zealand, and I have all of Asia. I could even own Russia, you know, on my globe. I can put my hands around it and hug it. But the truth is, that globe is in our heart. The world exists in our heart. In other words, there's a piece of the universe in every person's heart, and a piece and the entire universe in a person's heart. Shekola inyanim tluyim b'avodas kol ish miyisrael. What that means practically is that what we do internally has a very profound impact. It's not like the microcosm and the micro are two separate worlds. The observer is the observer, and the reality is the reality. It doesn't work that way. The avoda, everything is dependent on avoda of the Jew. In other words, when I shift something inside, it gets shifted. What is it called? The butterfly effect, right? Someone sneezed in China, and there was a hurricane somewhere else. If you examine things, my work here has an impact. So over there, it's a sneeze, a physical sneeze. Here, we're talking about an inner avoda in that your heart. It has a ripple effect spiritually and physically and emotionally on kol ha'olam. So when a person goes out of his own limitations, of his own medidos means measurements, and hakbalos, limitations, it's not just my own personal victory. I have more serenity. No, it has a ripple effect on all levels of tzimtzum. All levels of tzimtzum means imposing limit on that which is really infinite. That's what it really means. If there was no tzimtzum, you would see yourself, if all doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear as is, infinite light. Hakbalos means imposing limits on that infinity. You're not infinite, you're finite. Who imposes it? That's the tzimtzum. How does the tzimtzum get expressed in your life? It could be a voice, it could be a thought, it can be an instinct. But it's always imposing limits on infinity. It's denying your infinity. That's what it does. And it does it very well. It also has good proof. You know, it tells you how stupid you'll be if you think you're infinite. Or say, now you're going to now jump off a bridge and jump off a tree because you could fly, you're really infinite. In other words, it uses every mechanism in the world in order to be able to prove its thesis that tzimtzum is real. So therefore, when a person challenges that in their own life, it has a ripple effect. We speak about Avoda, we say you should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, b'chol ma'idecha. What's b'chol ma'idecha? The word ma'id means veriness. Ma'id, like toiv ma'id, very good. So b'chol ma'idecha means with all your veriness. What is that supposed to mean? The word ma'id is a complicated word. Chazal, in Maseches Brachos, right? It's not so clear. What does ma'idecha mean? Levavcha is a very clear word, your heart. Nafshecha is your soul. B'chol ma'idecha, what's ma'id? There's different pshat. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says it means money, maybe it means mido, b'chol mido. So the word b'chol mido actually says what the word is. The word is ma'oid, very. With your veriness. In other words, b'chol ma'idecha enu shavidosit sarachlis l'maylam em medidas v'akbolas shalai. Whatever my limit is, to be able to challenge it. That's what ma'oid means. Ma'oid means to go beyond. You say toiv ma'oid. Well, I don't want to use the word perfectionism because that could be an emotional illness. Yeah. Huh? Because it's not a perfectionism because there's always going to be another ma'id. It's not perfectionism. It's basically not getting stuck in whatever I'm told or I'm telling myself, this is the limit. This is your limit. This is who you are. The worst thing we do to ourselves is, this is who I am. This is what my marriage looks like forever. This is who I am forever. This is my relationship forever. In other words, I'm in a box. That's the ultimate mitzvah. These are the limits. And we make limits and everyone has a box. And we put a lock on our box. And no one gets close to it. Even I don't get. And then we throw away the key. Just to be sure that we can prove that this is it. That's called my medida v'hagbala. That's where I live. And that's where I function. And the truth is, some of us get away with it because life functions, works. Those who are luckier, their life stops working. So now they have to go out of their box because the box is not working anymore. Right? It's like you're lucky when the car breaks. I don't mean you're lucky, but when the car breaks down, you have to open the hood. You have to see deeper. When the computer breaks down, you have to open the computer. If the computer is always functioning, you never know what's inside the computer. So if I'm functioning my whole life, my life is perfect, I never know what's inside my computer. So there are such people. There are people that live their whole life with peace, or at least supposed peace, and everything looks good and perfect and it's functional, and they never once have to open up the hood and look under the hood. They don't need it. They don't need it. It's a gate. I don't know if there's still people like that today. A few years ago, maybe there used to be. Today, I don't see it working anymore. Everyone is now challenged to open the hood. And those who are the most against it need it the most until it plotzes, right? Till it plotzes. So that plotzing is not an insult. It's not a denigration. It's a challenge. It's an invitation to be able to go deeper. Maybe this box that I created is really a form of dysfunctionality or just a form of self-imposed limitations. So b'chol ma'idecha means there's levavcha, there's nafshach, and there's b'chol ma'idecha. What does this mean literally? The ability to serve Hashem beyond tam and das. Tam is reasons. Das is knowledge. L'mayla metam v'das means I can transcend my own reasoning and intellectual formation of what life is supposed to look like. Without making cheshbonos that the world made for you. You understand? The world made your cheshbonos for you and you just believe them. In other words, who am I? Am I a product of the paradigms that the world made for me? In other words, people are put into a... These are my expectations for you. And this... The world made it. Or maybe it's neighbors. My community, my neighbors, my social circle want to impose on me. And then there is the cheshbonus that my animal soul, the coping mechanisms that my body, my animal soul created. Was is fazei geshmak and was nit. You see, he's speaking three different levels. There's the cheshbonus that the world made for me. There's the cheshbonus that want to be imposed by my social circle. He calls it the shcheinim. And then there is my own nefesh ha'bahamas coping mechanisms. These are all ways in which I start functioning. I start living. And each one is much deeper than the other one. There's the cheshbon is the world made for me. Even when I'm liberated from that, there's the inner social circle. And then even when I'm liberated from that, there's my own inner coping mechanisms of my animal soul. So b'chol ma'idecha is always that ability to be able to challenge that. In other words, is there a certain, in simple English, is there a certain cheshbon that the world made for me, certain calculations? When you say the world, it may be the bigger world, it may be a smaller world, but the point is, I'm living someone else's life. Somebody once, it says, Gehenim is called Sha'ol, in Tanakh, right? Sha'ol. The abyss, Sha'ol Tachtas. The word Sha'ol is the same letters like the word Sha'ol, borrowed. What does it mean to live in Gehenim? That you live a borrowed life. You're a Sha'ol, I'm a Sha'ol, my life is borrowed. What does it mean it's borrowed? I'm copying you. I borrow your life. I'm living someone else's life. That's called sha'ol. So this cheshbon is the world makes for a person. Who you are, who you're not, what you need to live up to, what you don't need to live up to, what are the expectations from you, who you're supposed to be, who you're not supposed to be. And that can be very deep. I don't even challenge it. And then there's my shcheinim, you know, whatever it is. And then there is me, myself. And the deepest is, and this is already Mitzrayim on the highest level, even my nefesh elikis can get into cheshbonus. My divine soul also can have calculations. When a person knows there's something that's connected with Avas Hashem, v'haftas Hashem elikecha, oysa kol yonah b'shvil HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'loy medidas v'agbalos. The real soul is free. The real soul is looking to touch pre-tzimtzum. So there's no limitations. What does it mean there's no limitations? When I know something is true, it's negeh to avas Hashem, it's b'chol ma'idecha, all the measurements go away. And now the person is a free person. The world doesn't impose its cheshbonus on me. My neighbors don't impose the cheshbonus on me. Even my animal soul doesn't impose its cheshbonus on me. And even the cheshbonus of my divine soul, in other words, the way my divine soul gets locked into a system can also be a Mitzrayim, even though it's a nefesh alakis, which is godly. But it's already cheshbon. It's already calculations. Tam vidas. It's not ad lo yada. When the person says, ah, it's negei ta'avis Hashem, I go out of any limitation. Like we said, the world is in your heart. So when you do that in your heart, it shifts things above too. So the way Hashem helps you is also beyond limitations. And then you could break through even the darkness of Egypt. It says, Vayomish Choshech, the plague of darkness. It says that they could feel, they could touch the darkness. Vayomish, like we can tap in. You know, the darkness is so dense, it's so thick, you can touch it. Sometimes a person has a Choshech, it's Vayomish, you can touch it. Even there should be light, like it says, Achol B'nei Sol, Ayar B'mei Shroisim, even though they were still in Egypt. Furthermore, a person realizes the need to fulfill his or her mission to make for Hashem a home in the lowest world, but that begins in your own four cubits. In your sviv, and then in the whole world. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, a person has to say the world was created for me. What does it mean the world was created for me? That there's a part in the world that I need to illuminate. And through that I illuminate the whole world. That the darkness of Tzimtzum is supplanted, it's substituted with the light. What's the light? That there's a balabayas, there's a master to this world. Till the person brings the Elyonim, the higher reality, into the lower reality, and she becomes a home for Hashem. At sheyiv and nigla kved Hashem v'ro kabasa yachtav kapi Hashem diber sheroyim es dvar Hashem shemahavu mechayim mechayim kolin yin shabayla. Till the person reveals a world in which you see the truth. What's the truth? That the dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, creates everything. Shekeinu gam achshav. It's true now. Keteres habal Hashem tovala pasuk. Lo ilam Hashem dvar chenitzav b'shamayim. Elashachshav advar Hashem ubehelam v'hester. Vayidei avidosei hanal nasis abegile. The Baal Shem Tov says, it says, La'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim, in Tehillim kuf yutes. Hashem, your word forever stands in heaven. So literally it means that Hashem's words will be materialized. But the Baal Shem Tov said, the words that you said, Yehi Rakiya, they stand in the heaven. This is the Moira de Ketach. In other words, what creates heaven? It's the divine energy. Hashem said, Yehi Rakiya, those are the letters, that's the DNA that sustains, that creates, that vitalizes heaven or anything else that exists. Dvarcha, the words that created the world, Nitzav, they still stand in the world, Bashamayim. So the whole Avodah is to reveal that. To relate to the world from the perspective of the Dvar Hashem. Like we say, when you make a bracha on water, Shahakal Niya Bidvara. Everything came into existence through His word. In other words, before I'm touching the water, I'm revealing the Dvar Hashem in the water. My relationship to everything is from the divine perspective inside of it. This is called lighting up the world, vanishing the, expelling the darkness and bringing in the light. The moment you reveal the Dvar Hashem, so now we don't see anymore the limit of the world. We see that it's divine energy that created and speaks the limit of the world. So then it's not limited anymore because it's Hashem's limitation. If it's Hashem's limitation, so it's not a real limitation. It's just the way infinity is manifested through a limitation. So it's not a real limitation. It's not an authentic limitation. In other words, if I could see that the limitation itself is Pi Hashem Dibir, Hashem speaks this limitation itself. So the limitation itself is just an expression of divinity. So if it's an expression of divinity, so then I'm not stuck in it. I'm not defined by it. So it's automatically unlimited. Because it's what he calls here, medida v'agbala atzmus. It's a limitation that's coming from your infinity. The Pi Hashem is creating this limitation in order to be able to make a dira b'tachtoinim. So then it's not a real limitation anymore. It's not a real medida v'agbala. So that's the idea of Tzimtzum. The idea of Tzimtzum is not that there was no Tzimtzum. That's what he's saying. There was a Tzimtzum. That's what we're dealing with. That's existence. The point is not, so let's destroy the world. It will cease to exist. That's not the Vart. The Dirib HaTachtoinim is to reveal that the Tzimtzum itself is a manifestation, it's an embodiment of the infinity. Ki Pi Hashem Diber. If he speaks it, so then you don't see the limit of the world. You see that he created this limit. His mouth speaks these letters that create this Hagbalah. So if it's the Hagbalah that he's creating, so then he says, Vet ois medidav Hagbalah. Because it's his medidav Hagbalah. And that's the key, that's the healing of the Tzimtzum. In other words, every voice tells us you're limited, you're finite, you're this, you're this, you're that, you're this. Whether it's your neighbors, it's the world, it's your internal voices, it's all the different mitzrayims that you have. And it proves it. I am limited. I'm not a bird. I can't start. If I start flying, we know what's going to happen. I mean, it's not going to be such good news, right? I can't jump off. Every person is limited. You're limited in your schedule, in your abilities, in your finiteness, in your prowess. The worst thing for a person is to think you're unlimited. I mean, you're an angel. If I start flying, gesundheit, like, you know, tell me how that worked out for you. I mean, when people start imagining, you know, and hallucinating that they're deities and this, I mean, it's an illness. There's the humility of knowing, you know, Adam, but so what's the Vart? This is the Nikud. The Nikud is Avada, we live in limits. But how do we understand those limits? If the limits are essential So then my limits are tackled, they're real limits. The avoida is, and that's the avoida of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, is the b'chol moedecha. B'chol moedecha means, yeah, the limit is only the format in which the infinity is supposed to be expressed through this format. That's what he says. V'nigla kvoid Hashem v'rocha basen yachtav kipi Hashem diber. So you don't see the medida of the world, the hagbala of the world, the limit of the world. You see the pi Hashem that creates this measurement, creates this limitation. So if you see that, so then it's not a real limitation anymore. Why is it not a real limitation anymore? Because it's the limitation that's coming from the divine. In other words, there's a purpose in this limitation in order to be able to bring down the truth, the light, the dira b'tachtoinim, in this particular space. So it doesn't box you in. It's the realm in which you express your Ein Sof. So you're limitedly. It's the arena in which you express the Ein Sof. It's not divorced from Ein Sof. So the Tzimtzum itself becomes another expression of the Ein Sof, rather than a prison in which you're jailed. It's a very subtle transformation that happens in a person, where I look at my limits as those that impose themselves on me and define me, or the limit as an opportunity to be able to express truth in this environment, in this particular sphere, in this particular space. So he finishes the paragraph. That's why Yitzias Mitzrayim every day is in Krishma, like it says in Tanya there. Perek Mem Zayin. Because Krishma is when we say, V'haftas Hashem alakecha b'chol avavcha b'chol navshecha b'chol meidecha. This is going out of Mitzrayim. V'zo noisef lakach shabam miris Hashem echad, tzrich aliyas hakavona kepshuta limser navshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'arayin de mesiris nefesh u'yitziyem mekoma de devag bala. In addition to the fact when a person says Hashem echad, the kavona is to dedicate the soul to Hashem, which Mesiris Nefesh means going out of Mitzrayim. What does it mean? It means that my soul is not encumbered by any blockage in the world, not even the blockage of the highest levels of confinement. Mesiris Nefesh really means I'm completely one with that infinite source, so therefore there's no blockage. So as a result of this, we now understand the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim in a person's Avoida. That whatever the Meitzar is, whatever the confinement that I'm dealing with, if you'll ask yourself, what are the biggest confinements that impose themselves on you? Right? What are the biggest limitations that define you? If a person asks themselves, what are the most restrictive things of my life? What are things that restrict you, that bother you, that sit on you like a rock, that sit inside of you? Right? And if you could get rid of this, you're a free person. If you'll ask a person, what are the biggest tsaros in your life? What are the biggest mitzrayims in your life? Where are you a slave? Where do you find yourself being a slave? What drives you crazy more than anything else? You can answer these questions, anybody? You have a list? How big is the list? Huh? Your past. Okay, that's a big word. Your whole past. Mamish.
Negativity.
The negativity of your past. Right, so sometimes there's things happening now in a person's life. Sometimes it's things from the past. Sometimes it's a combination, right? Sometimes it's inside of us. It's around us. Whatever it is. Sometimes it's very physical and practical, right? It could be from a person's financial distress or psychological distress or situation in marriage or children or whatever it may be, right? Bigger things that affect us in the larger world, etc. But everyone is dealing with that mitzrayim. So Yitzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of the realization that every one of those limitations that exist in my life, ultimately, it's not a real limitation. What do I mean it's not a real limitation? It's not an ultimate restriction that here to impose itself, to imprison me. But rather, this is the arena through which my soul can exercise its muscles of liberation. What does that mean practically in a person's life? It's easier said than done. It's a deep avoida, but this is the whole avoida. Huh? The problem is not that fact that we're looking at. It's how we're interpreting it. There's interpreting it from a post-Tzimtzum reality and there's interpreting from a pre-Tzimtzum reality. Interpreting it from a post-Tzimtzum reality is becoming a victim to the limit. In other words, acknowledging that Mitzrayim is really the source. We live in Mitzrayim. That means I'm in exile. That's when I land in exile. I land in exile when I acknowledge that Mitzrayim is the beginning and the end of the reality. And that's what Pare wanted. Pare said, even a slave doesn't leave this place. What does it mean? It's not just a physical concept. It's a psychological concept. Nobody leaves Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, even one slave couldn't escape. And here 600,000 men between 20 and 60 escape or left. What's the idea even one slave can't leave? How can one slave not leave? The answer is, because everyone is part of this game. Everyone is part of this box. Nobody leaves. You can't leave. This is life. Once you come into Mitzrayim, there's no going out. This is life. You know, this is your sandbox. Now figure it out. So you'll make more money, you'll make less money, you'll drink more, you'll drink less, you'll run here, you'll run there, but figure it out in this box. This is the sandbox of reality. Nobody gets out of it. Right. So the Rebbe says there, really, what's this? This is really all post-Tzimtzum. Once Tzimtzum happens, now reality could be interpreted as that. And what's the whole avodah of the Jew? Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim is every day saying, no. Mitzrayim is the journey, it's not the destination. Mitzrayim is the space in which my infinity needs to express itself. Mitzrayim is the space so I could be able to have v'ahavtas Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'idecha. There's no b'chol ma'idecha without Mitzrayim. B'chol ma'idecha is breaching the boundary, breaching the Mitzrayim. So if you look at those, let's say, that story or those stories or those facts that limit you, they're limiting me. They're defining me. They're restricting me. They're enslaving me. They're making me crazy. They're imposing on me. They're creating all the pressure. And then you ask yourself one question. Is this the natural state of your reality? Or is this an invitation? An invitation for what? An invitation to be able to say that right now, right here, I can choose to see this Hagbalah from the perspective of Kipi Hashem Dibber. As he puts it here, Kipi Hashem Asher Dibber Umahaves HaMedid of Hagbalah Da'ilam. The Pi Hashem is creating the Hagbalah. If the Pi Hashem is creating the Hagbalah, so it's infinity creating finiteness, so it's not finite. If it's the Pi Hashem creating the limitation, it's just the way that Ein Sof is being manifested. So what does that mean in your life? And your life means if you're really one with Ein Sof and that's the truth, so I'm going to be expressing my infinity through this limitation, through this story. So you'll say, why? Just get rid of it. That's the whole kavanah of Diri B'tachtoinim. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim, to bring in the light into the place where you can touch darkness. In the place where you can touch darkness, V'yamash Choshech, that's where you bring in the light to. And every person, it expresses itself in a different way. Because your Diri B'tachtoinim is not my Diri B'tachtoinim, because my Mitzrayim is not your Mitzrayim. Your Mitzrayim is not my Mitzrayim. So if you want a practical meditation for this today or any day of your life, it means that whenever you confront something, and that particular thing, it could be a conversation, it could be a feeling, it could be a reality, and that particular thing is really causing heartache and wreaking havoc and creating pressure, and really you say, this is my exile, this is my gullus. This reality is my gullus. This is what I'm confronting, this is what I'm dealing with. Realize that very, very reality, there's a Pi Hashem Dibber here. The Tzimtzum wasn't created by mistake. There's a Pi Hashem Dibber. There's a divine energy that created that. And if divine energy created that, it means it's not limiting. It's really infinite. If I could see it from that, then it's an opportunity to break through. It's an opportunity to grow from it. It's an opportunity to find the truth of it. And then that will set you free. That Hagbalah itself will set you free. Because you'll realize it's not a real Medid of Hagbalah. It's called Medid of Hagbalah Atzmas. It's a Medid of Hagbalah that comes from the essence, which is not finite. It's like when you choose to limit yourself in a certain way, it doesn't mean you're limited that way. You're choosing the limitation. If you're choosing the limitation, so then it's not a real limitation. Because you're choosing to be in that limitation. Right? If a person sometimes creates a schedule for themselves, This is what I do now. This is what I do then. It's not a real limitation. Oh, you're stuck. You're not free. No. This is what I chose in order to be able to go into this place. So this is what the soul chose. The Pi Hashem Diber. The soul, which is a Chelek HaLekamal, chose this Medidav HaGbalah in order to be able to reveal the purpose and the godliness in this particular situation. So the first thing is you have to pause and breathe and not get stuck and schlepped into the thundering voice of the Mitzrayim that speaks about how bad and evil and horrible and depressing everything is. And then ask myself, how can I use this very limitation, this very situation, to be able to find my purpose here? What's the message here? What's the growing experience here? What's the Avodas Hashem here? What's the light that needs to be introduced into this place? And then when that happens, this very Meitzar, this very confinement itself becomes the channel to liberation. This itself brought out the liberation. And for this, the person needs to go away from the place of what the world decided, who the world decided I am, who my neighbors or my community or my family or my social circle decided I am, who my animal soul decided I am, and even the intellectual part of my divine soul decided who I am. But realize that if it's something touching Avos Hashem, I'm touching something beyond Medidav Hagbalah. The person, the soul naturally is not limited. You're really not limited. So it's the faith that all the messages that we are limited, finite people are themselves products of Mitzrayim. And we shouldn't become a slave of Paray, because it's so easy to become that slave. All those messages are such powerful messages. It doesn't mean I don't have to work through stuff. I have my Mitzrayim to work through, but I want to see that the Hagbalah over there is not a real Hagbalah. It's Hagbalah that's coming from Ein Sof. Any limit that comes from infinity is not a limit. It's a path. It's not a limit, it's a path. You understand the difference? It's not a limiting situation. It's a path that I need to go on. Why do I need to go on? Because this path is a manifestation of infinity. Okay, we'll take a break here. Be'ezer Hashem will continue Thursday morning. Tomorrow we have a women's class, 9:30 a.m. You could tell your women, wives or daughters, everybody have a beautiful day and a lot of atzlocha. Thank you. You understood?
I'm in process. No.
Abyssala. Okay.
Maybe I'll write an email. I'm struggling with that. Whatever. Can't like the words. I can't.
Okay. That's good. It's good. When there's no words, it's good.
Can you say the actual Mitzrayim?
Was when people realize Hashem is with us, He's going to protect us and get us through this.
That was the beginning of redemption.
Just realize Hashem is with us.
That the whole Tzimtzum is Kipi Hashem Diber.
It's just thinking that Hashem is not with us.
That's the beginning, yeah. When I'm isolated, when I'm alone, when I'm broken, when I'm detached. Now I put myself in a little box to survive. I'm not plugged in anymore to the infinity of light. Yes, so now it expresses itself like my anxiety, my fear, my insecurity, my depression, or my self-consciousness, my ego, or my putting myself down, or just my loneliness, my negativity, and also my fear from people, you know. Maybe I become aggressive, maybe I become a people's pleaser, but I'm always living in this box. And that box begins with the fact that I'm isolated, I'm detached, I'm not plugged into infinity. Infinity is not a box. Ein Sof is all-inclusive.
One person I know.
And these are Mitzrayim is a very normal condition, because our world is post-Tzimtzum. And post-Tzimtzum, we live in a very restrictive reality. And now I have to make sense of that reality. I have to survive. I have to cope. And when I start coping, I develop different coping mechanisms. So this one responds to the way the world defines who they are. This one responds to the way their social community defines who they are. And this one responds to their own inner animal consciousness, which develops its way of living. And it's not b'chol ma'idacha. B'chol ma'idacha means that you're not really, you weren't made to live like this.
Your trauma defines who you
are. Right. So as you're saying, if my trauma defines who I am, so imagine how limited my life is, how limited my possibilities are, how limited my relationships are, and how painful they are. Because everything is being experienced through those lenses, through those emotions, through those experiences. And I may develop patterns to justify it because it's all I know. So I'm living in this box of Mitzrayim, and I call it maybe redemption. Some people call Mitzrayim Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know? And even when I'm doing a Seder of Pesach, I'm still stuck there. So this ability of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'idecha, but at the core of the soul, he knows that anything connected to Avas Hashem, he says, it's b'chol ma'idecha. I don't need all those chashbonos. They may exist, but I don't need them. It's not who I am. It's not what I want. It's not my real design. It's not my real purpose. Even as he says, the cheshbonos of a nefesh alakis, sometimes the nefesh alakis itself has cheshbonos. But it's cheshbonos. It's calculations. In other words, it's the way I figure things out. And it also could be a limit. I figured it out. It could be a holy limit, but it's still a limit. Right? So this idea of the geula of Mitzrayim, what does it come from? It comes from, that's what he's saying, the ability to understand, not just that I'm higher than it. There's two points here. One is that you're higher than it, and one is that your shlichus is to work it through. So I don't have to be afraid of it. Tira b'tachtayin means to bring the light into the Mitzrayim. Everyone, b'shvili nivra aylam means that this aylam was created for me. So it's almost like my soul went into this place of limit in order to reveal its unlimitedness. To reveal that it's Pi Hashem Dibber, this entire limit is just a divine creation. So therefore the chemistry of it is infinity. When Hashem's words define the chemistry of something, so it's not defined by it. It's not a real limit, it's not an ultimate limit. It's Hashem's words. So it's the way infinity is choosing to express itself in this way, this pattern. So right now, in this situation, my soul has an opportunity to express its infinity in this particular situation, these circumstances, whatever these circumstances invite me to do. And it's different. Every day it's different.
Everybody has all made
the four cups of wine, please.
It's an interesting concept. It's like the minute, what we have to realize, we're in the box, always in the box. But why we're in the box? There is a divine reason for that.
Yeah.
We should be in the box.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge is we're trying to be in the control to get out of the box.
Mm.
You know, so when we try to be, the minute we're in the control to get out of the box, we realize the box. We want it to be out of it. But when we do it with our own ways, instead of letting it go, letting it be controlled, so that's where the problems.
There's a beautiful verse from the Chiddushi Harim. It says, "V'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'idecha." So the Gemara says, "What does it mean b'chol nafshecha?" I mean with all your soul. Actually, the Mishnah says in Brachas, "Afilu noitelas nafshecha," even if he takes your soul. This is the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, right? "V'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha." Even if he takes your soul, your love should be bigger than that, stronger than that. So b'chol namshcha means your entire soul. Even if he takes it away, takes your whole soul, you still love. Because the relationship is even deeper. Deeper than just my soul. So he says, so what does b'chol levavcha mean then? With your whole heart. Yeah. So he says, afilu hunaitelas levavcha, even if he takes away your heart. Just like b'chol namshcha means even if he takes away your soul. So b'chol levavcha means even if he takes away your heart, you should still have a hafta. So that's a classic example of this. It takes away your heart means you don't have, you're not feeling anything. That's very hard. So that's, there also v'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Even if he takes your heart, in other words, very often a person makes limitations. What does inspiration mean? Inspiration means my heart feels. And what if my heart doesn't feel? There's moments in life a person's heart shuts down. For whatever reason, there's a reason for it, but the heart shuts down. And very often at that moment, they lose the plot because they're not feeling anything. But that's also Pi Hashem Diber. There's an energy behind that blockage. It's not from nowhere. That Mitzrayim is also Pi Hashem Diber. So when you know that, so now my avoid is to work through this darkness, okay? It's very different than being a victim to it. You're not a victim to it. Now I'm being sent. It's almost like a person, like a soldier sent into a battle. Right? He's not a, it's a mission. He doesn't belong in the battle zone because he's a low person, because he's lowly, because we want to put him into a horrible situation. On the contrary, he was sent on a mission because it's hard, because he has the tools. So maybe when my heart closes, it's because I have the tools to be able to work through the closed heart too. The challenge is that my heart is closed. There's nobody here. I'm done. I'm dead. No, I'm not dead. I was sent into a dead place because I'm alive. So you say, but I don't feel it. Right. The eye that doesn't feel it, that's the eye that I have to work through. That's the eye that I need to work through, the Mitzrayim, and create Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the person should never doubt that they're connected and they're coming from a place where they're completely infinite. The heart is alive, the soul is alive, the self is alive. Right now, there's a blockage, there's like a container, so to speak, blocking that light. So I don't have access to it, so I'm not experiencing it. Okay. Like the heart is in jail, you know? It's walled, it's a fortress, you know? There's an iron curtain around it, and it's not allowing the light to come in.
That's where Hashem is?
So now, I have to know, in that darkness, there's also presence. Huh?
It's even higher. There's a letter from Mendel Viteskin, Priyuda. I see them complaining to him that they don't feel a time and avoid this. So he writes a whole thing that's even higher than, in a certain sense, it's even a higher
matter. The essence is of a Jew, like, who always feel guilty. If we create a situation, you know, in the business or whatever it is, you feel guilty for why did you even do it in the first place?
So guilt could sometimes be the worst Mitzrayim. If the guilt is learning a lesson and growing from it, fine, then it's good. But if the guilt becomes a reason to show what a loser I am and an excuse to continue to live deadly, then it's the worst Mitzrayim. Right. Right. It's a recipe for disaster. You have to be very careful with guilt. You have to be very careful with guilt.
I'm guilty of having.
You're feeling guilty that you're feeling guilty, right? We always guilty about something. Somebody once said, what's the definition of a Jew? If he doesn't feel guilty, he blames himself. In other words, the one or two Jews in the world who don't feel guilty are blaming themselves for not feeling guilty. It's like a guy who comes to a therapist, what's your problem? Problem is I'm calm, you know? Everybody around me is stressed and I'm calm. Like, what? Why am I so bad? Like, he's feeling guilty that he's calm. Rahman al-Itzlan, like, you're so evil, you're so indifferent, you're so callous, you're so ruthless and sadistic that you're feeling calm when everyone is going crazy. Huh? My parents' home, they had a very nice piano, an old piano. So it was once Erev Pesach. And I guess I finished my jobs, what I had to do. I was a bacher. So it was like, I don't know, like a half an hour before Lichtenstein maybe. So I sat down at the piano and I started to play on the piano. So the windows were open to my neighbor. My neighbor was notorious for being a procrastinator. Everything was the last minute. Everything was the last minute. You can understand Pesach, the level of procrastination and how much you have to do the last minute. So the windows are open and I'm playing this nice song. So from the other side, I was on the second floor, he's on the second floor, he starts screaming, he says, I don't understand, it's a half an hour before Lichtenstein, we have a Seder with Pesach, the Zitztazoy by the piano, like you have nothing to do. It triggered him terribly because he was very stressed. So I told him, listen, you're busy, but you might forget that Pesach is Man Chereseinu. That it's really about happiness and joy and liberation. So I sat down there to remind you and myself that it's ultimately not about going crazy. It's about experiencing Yom Tov.
You're a teacher.
So a lady came to me, he says, I can't thank you enough. You put things in perspective. I'm saying sometimes it's so easy to get guilty and overwhelmed and this.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.